Great, all right. House Committee on Revenue for April 11th, 2017 will come to order. Thank you, colleagues, very much. We have two work sessions and a public hearing scheduled. Paul, there's no reason not to go ahead with the public hearing, is there? Let's go, let's start with the public hearing. House Bill, open a public hearing on House Bill 2150. Mazin, tell us all about this one.
Afternoon, Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2150 also comes to you from your sister committee on economic development and trade. And this bill, you know, primarily it looks at the modification of procedures that allow for submission of statements and electronic use of those submissions. It is, as it looks, a very modernizing and simplification way of doing these reports, and especially the cider, the beer, the wine, and all the privileged taxes for that. So that's what the bill does for you.
All right. And it came from Special Committee on Small Business Growth. Who do we have who wants to talk about this bill? Oh, please.
Thank you.
Representative Leininger. You snuck in while I wasn't looking.
Sorry, I should have come forward. Thank you, Chair Barnhart and members of the committee. I'm Ann Leininger, State Representative for House District 38, Lake Oswego and Southwest Portland, and I'm happy to be here today as you consider two bills related to streamlining requirements applicable to the producers of adult beverages in Oregon. One, I think you may be considering in a work session, House Bill 2159, but I'm here for the public hearing on House Bill 2150, which pertains to the electronic filing of statements and taxes. So currently, producers of and importers of beer, wine, and cider are required to file statements about how much beer, wine, and cider they've produced or acquired each month, and they're also required to pay monthly privilege taxes, and currently that all happens in hard copy format. And so this bill, which comes to us once again from the really great work and suggestions for system improvements that the Oregon Liquor Control Commission has brought forward, and I'm happy to have Renee Niedermeyer here with me. I want to just state how tremendously helpful the OLCC has been in trying to identify process improvements that we can support. This bill would enable those filings, which are currently done on a monthly basis and have to be done in hard copy, to be done electronically. That's particularly important for very small producers, because very small producers may have, you know, a really modest burden, and the cost of producing and filing these statements can even overshadow the actual cost of the tax payment that they might have to make incrementally. And so by streamlining the procedure, making it clear that that's okay, we reduce the burden on these producers and distributors, and we accomplish the important public purpose in a way that makes government work a little bit more effectively for people, and hopefully lets our businesses focus on the thing that they really need to be focused on, which is growing their market share, creating good jobs, and creating good products that people want to buy. So with that, I will turn it over to my great colleague, Ms. Niedermeyer, and we welcome your questions.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Renee Niedermeyer. I'm the Director of Government Relations and Communications for the OLCC. And I just want to make one minor clarification. This bill actually was brought forward by the industry, and it's something that OLCC has been working with the industry for, but they're actually the ones who worked on getting it introduced into the session. As Representative Leininger said, we bring in about $38 million in revenue from privileged taxes. We have about 4,700 entities that report, mostly on a monthly basis. In total, we have about 28,000 paper forms that come in a year with an average of 5 pages. That's 140 pieces of paper that we handle. and reconcile manually. But I want to say that the development of an online technology project, such as an online electronic system, is a technology project of a significance enough that we would need to go as a state entity through the stage gate process, which requires us, which we would want to do anyway, to complete a business analysis, to develop a business case for the project, to develop a project plan, timeline, and cost estimates, and then in that it also involves going out for RFPs. And once you get the RFPs and you select a vendor, you have to develop the project and implement the project, do the training and implement. So that makes it virtually impossible to meet the January 1st, 2018 deadline. So we would need to have that adjusted in order to accomplish this. In the past, we've used contractors to do projects, some of our online projects. We're in the middle of doing an online alcohol licensing project, and we just recently finished a cannabis tracking project, or we're in process of we finished it, implemented it, and now we're, you know, making improvements to that as well. And so what we would suggest that you would do is go out and use contractors, which we've done before, to help us with that stage gate process. Make sure we have a business product that not only takes the tax filing in and makes that easy for folks to file, but on the back end of the project, we get rid of all the manual processes. And so we just need to do that business process planning.
All right. Questions? I have a couple of questions, maybe comments. I'm looking at this bill. It says that the commission shall by rule establish procedures. And then it says the amendments apply to statements of privilege taxes due on or after January 1, 2018. And this may be a question for staff and maybe for LC. I don't see anything in here that says these rules have to be enforced on January 1, 2018. I think it says that the amendments apply. The ability to make rules applies on January 1, 2018. Have I misread that somehow? I mean, I'm responding to your comment about needing an extension.
Yes.
I don't think you get to do these rules until after January 1, 2018, the way this bill is written.
Chair Barnhart, then I stand corrected. That would make it much easier for us. Thank you.
Yeah. A couple of questions. Do you regularly work with the state information officer in the Department of Administrative Services on projects like this?
Yes, we do.
Okay, because they're the ones who have the expertise.
Yes.
I suspect mm-hmm. that they can short-circuit a lot of the work you described you need to do because they're doing it for other departments routinely. I happen to serve on the State Portals Commission mm-hmm. as a non-voting member, and so I'm familiar with what NICUSA is doing for the state generally. And so being able to set up a website for you where those who are required to file reports or pay fees to do it, frankly, I have to tell you, I think that's fairly simple at this stage.
Chair Barnhart, I agree that setting up the website to accept the information is simple, and one of the things we learned from our cannabis tracking system when we developed that, and we've worked with NICUSA on our online application system
Great.
For marijuana, so we're very
Oh, you're way ahead of me. Good.
And that's where we plan, I mean, our guess is that's who we would be working with on this project as well. But one of the things that we learned when we implemented the cannabis tracking system is, because we have to implement it very, very quickly, and so what we got was the ability to submit applications online. What we didn't get in the beginning was that back work, that back office, to make it easier for us. So actually it made it a little tougher for us
Yes.
on the back end. So what we want is the time to do those business processes and make sure that's designed so we can get that back work done too.
Right. Well, Mazen, do you think that this bill doesn't allow them that time? I don't read it that way, but if you think it does, then maybe it needs amendment. I mean, looks to me like it says they don't even get to write the rules until after January 1.
I think that's correct, Mr. Chair, and also the way the fiscal impact of the bill also thought of it the same way. So
and that was what?
That's how it's going to work.
And what's the fiscal impact?
I think for the implementation of.
I don't see.
Chair Barnhart.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yes, ma'am.
I was just going to mention that we were talking about this earlier this morning, and when we were working on this bill before, we weren't quite sure whether it meant we had to implement or the rules had to be in there. So actually, just some clarification I think would be good.
Oh, I see. So if I'm reading this correctly, the Legislative Fiscal Office says that if the bill is intended for you to be up and running by January 1, you've got a $1.4 million fiscal. And if you have more time than that, then it's less. I think that's the way I read that fiscal. And no wonder you are concerned about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. are there other witnesses for this bill today? Representative Bentz has a question.
I just am curious, thank you, Mr. Chair, if I noticed the bill reads by rule that allow manufacturers or as opposed to mandate. There was some folks still just deal on paper, but this wouldn't require that change. Is that anticipated at some point? It's just all electronic?
Representative Chair Barnhart and Representative Bentz, yes, I anticipate that at some point we would be able to migrate everyone over into an electronic system.
Yeah,
right. Follow up. I've noticed in situations where people have to file the annual report for corporations, for example, and that's supposed to be done both the payment and the filing electronically, and some people simply don't have the ability or. Or the computer. And I'm guessing if you're in this business and you're busy paying a tax, you probably enjoy both, but I don't know. Is there anybody left out there that deals in paper?
Hmm. Representative Chair Barnhart and Representative Bentz, I'm sure there are people who deal with paper, and what we would do in a situation like that is work with them and try to find some alternative means for them to do, or find some access for them in order to do this. This is going to be designed to be a very simple process, and we hope that actually this will simplify their work rather than make it more complicated.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Chair Barnhart, Representative Bentz, and my understanding is that right now everyone only does paper and hard copy, so they definitely have the mechanisms and the personnel in place to accommodate that. And my experience, but this would enable the people who are in a position to migrate over and find that preferable to do that. And I would say my experience of working with the OLCC folks in the marijuana implementation context has been that they've shown tremendous flexibility and willingness to accommodate businesses at really a variety of stages of readiness to deal with the processes to help everyone find a way to engage effectively with OLCC. I also want to thank, as Ms. Niedermeyer noted, I want to thank the industry folks who've worked on putting together this process improvement concept. The work we've done through the Committee on Small Business Growth, which is now in the House Economic Development and Trade Committee, involving beer, wine, cider, distilled spirits producers has been work that's really called on, asked for, and received generous assists from people in the industry to help us find ways that we can try to be a productive ally to make their burden more manageable and hopefully create pathways for them to operate their businesses, even with less regulatory impediment and in a way that helps them focus on the good work that they're trying to do. So thank you to them, and thanks for noting that.
Yes, Representative Marsh, please.
Thank you, Chair. So I'm just curious, when people are filing all their reports by paper, are they also sending checks for payment, or is there a credit card option on the paperwork?
Chair Barnhart, Representative Marsh, they can pay in cash or check. This option will allow them to use credit cards.
Okay, so that's another in our series of discussions about the impact of credit cards, and there's 3% right out the door as those are processed. At some point, we probably need to talk about this systemically in terms of the impact statewide on different departments and activities, because this is what people want.
This is a major topic of conversation in the Portals Commission as well.
We should go into the credit card business.
Yeah.
The Chair Barnhart and the rest of the committee, I do want to say that as we work through the business processes and a plan, one option that folks have done in situations like this would charge a convenience fee that might take care of the credit card fees as well.
Now, are you authorized to do that?
Yes.
You can do that under the current law, because this bill doesn't give you that authority.
Rep. Barnhart, I believe that we do have that, but I will check just to make sure.
That would be helpful. Okay. Thank you. I note that my old friend Ed King has written in support of this bill. He runs King Estate Winery, one of the larger ones in the state, and my experience with him is that he's a very capable businessman. You haven't heard from other manufacturers that they have any problem with this bill, have you, or have you?
Chair Barnhart, actually what we did when, and we've been talking about this for years at the OLCC, I mean, we know it's in, it's something that the industry wants. We actually did convene a small work group of different sectors of this industry just to say, is this something you want? Do you want this? And overwhelmingly, we got the response that, yes, this would be helpful.
So Ed's in good company.
Yes, he is.
All right. Thank you. Anything else? Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who wants to be heard today on House Bill 2150? If not, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2150 and open a work session. You care which? You want to, okay. On House Bill 2159, Mazin?
Mr. Chair, you saw House Bill 2159. It's a close bill to this one, and primarily also looks at the ways of modernization. I guess it came to you also from the Committee on Economic Development and Trade, and you know, the just in case you needed more information about the revenue backgrounds and so on, I put some of that on OLAS for you. And just to remind you what this bill does, it allows for a new cutoff line between the what is considered the alcohol by volume for cider going from 7% that is today to 8.5%. And that would change the cutoff line between what is taxed as beer or and what is taxed as wine, or different tax. However, with all these changes and looking at the different establishments that engage in these exercises or on these manufacturing types, the amounts that would be changing from one segment to another does not come to a large enough volume that changes or becomes a significant amount of revenue. So that's why for this bill, after we looked at it, we gave it a minimal revenue impact, and our fiscal office also gave it a minimal expenditure impact.
Very good. Are you here on this bill?
The representative brought the bill.
Yes.
Last time, so.
And did you want to be heard during the work session?
Oh,
okay. All right. So this particular bill, if I understand it, does make a change in the alcohol percent as it applies to the tax, and it makes a couple of other small changes, eliminating the requirements in subsection 4 as they apply to cider. And that's it.
That's it.
Okay. What's your pleasure, committee? Representative Benz?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2159 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Benz moves House Bill 2159 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection to the motion? Objection, the motion carries. Representative Smith is excused. Who would like to carry the bill? Representative Leidinger will carry. Thank you. See? Good reason for sticking around. And with that, we'll close the work session on House Bill 2159 and open a work session on House Bill 2859.
Okay, good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Just a refresher, House Bill 2859, again, is the measure that would place a series of sunsets on a number of property tax existing exemptions that do not already have sunsets placed upon them and that are not related to the natural resources category. The Dash 2 is still the most recent version of the measure that we have available, so the documentation is up there, and it's on the screen listing the tax expenditures that are listed right now that would have sunsets placed on them. And I believe we have it staggered so they'd be set up in two different years. So your review years for these listed expenditures would be in 2021 and 2023.
Okay. We have received a couple of responses from committee members. I think LRO has, but not from others. What I was hoping for is that members would take a look at these items that remain on our list, which I think is the very first item in the meeting materials and exhibits section, and make your assessment as to which of these things really should never have a sunset because they don't lend themselves to that, like the EFU farmland obviously didn't when we had that hearing, and which ones might agreeably be reviewed periodically and therefore ought to have a sunset. I'm beginning to think that maybe the best approach at this point would be to establish a work group to kind of go through these one at a time with Kyle and bring back a recommendation to us on which ones they are. I hesitate to move the Dash 2 as it is without a conversation about at least some of these that look to me as though they're likely to be to fall in the same category as EFU farmland, in that they require long-term planning, and the uncertainty brought about by a sunset review would reduce the value of the exemption in the first place. Other thoughts? It is possible that this work group review might extend into the interim, so this could be an issue for the next for the short session. I'd sure like to get to it today if we have the this session if we have the bandwidth for it. Other thoughts? Don't everybody speak at once. Am I on track?
Yeah.
On what we ought to do.
About what you said and trying not to volunteer.
Representative Nose. Thank you. I figured that might have been part of it. Representative Marsh.
Well, just a comment. I did go through the exercise of marking my sheet.
Yes, you
or
did.
No, for all of them. And I think that the challenge is really, what's the criteria? I mean,
right.
It's sort of an obvious question. But if we could establish a criteria,
right,
it would be easy then to check things off, yes or no.
Right. For me, the criteria really is, do any of these fall in the category, like EFU farmland and farm equipment, where a periodic sunset review would destroy the value of the exemption? I mean, the farmers testified that they do long-term planning, they do estate planning, they do a variety of planning that may extend out 40, 50, 100 years. And therefore, having a six-year sunset review would destroy the value of the exemption in the first place. I wonder if there aren't others that are like that, where having a sunset that's a short sunset would be a very bad idea for the value of the exemption. Mm-hmm. Others where, because of the nature of it, a short-term sunset, because the planning horizon is shorter, might be fine. So maybe that's the first thing for the work group to work on, is what would be the sideboards and the criteria that we ought to use. I think that's a very wise suggestion. And since you've turned in your questionnaire, you won't be on the work group.
There's something.
Thank you.
Representative Benz.
So I'm not volunteering. I'm just saying that whoever is on this work group might want to look at the sunset as a device and look at some alternatives to it.
There may be other devices.
Yes.
Thank you.
Because I really do wonder, given some of the challenges that the sunset as a device presents, if there aren't alternatives, and so the work group might want to look at that also.
Thank you. That's an excellent suggestion. Representative Hernandez.
Thank you, Chair.
For the criteria, I think we could also have, because it is a tax expenditure, what benefit it gives to the state as well, in addition to the criteria which you mentioned.
Yes.
And I did not turn mine in.
Yet.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Yes, Representative Marsh.
I would just note, my own experience was there were very few things on there that I could actually mark as no's, because I think there's value in forcing some future legislators to actually go through the process of thinking about the tax breaks we give to nonprofits and saying, is that a good idea? I mean, there are value judgments embedded in many of these, and mm-hmm. The sunset forces that conversation.
Right. And of course, in the tax credit, in the income tax credit arena, we've had a few income tax credits go away because nobody showed up to defend them.
Yeah.
And that was an indication of their value.
There probably also weren't that many.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah.
Yeah. Representative Knows?
No, you could also argue that maybe there was nobody there to defend them because they weren't that utilized, right? So,
yes.
Like, you know, I mean...
Exactly.
I wasn't in a fraternity, so I'll pick on that one. Okay. So, you know, if we suddenly decided fraternal organizations weren't going to get that anymore, you know, would every Greek letter organization at Oregon State and University of Oregon suddenly show up here? You know, I don't know.
There are alumni groups would.
And maybe, you know, I mean, I think Representative Marsh makes a good point about there's value judgments laden in all of these.
Yep.
It's true. I'm going to get bombarded now with students from the schools calling me saying this is a good thing. I can see
all
it.
Right.
It's going to be tweeted out.
Well, Chair, it's not like we're eliminating it. We're just saying let's review after 6 years.
Well, or 8 or 10.
Or 8 or 10 or 25 or 2.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Anything else today that we ought to discuss in the whole committee on this one? All right. I'll ponder it a bit. Any volunteers for the work group, please don't hesitate to send me an email or contact me in some other way. And please don't hide also. And with that, we'll close the work session on House Bill 2859. Anything for the good of the order, Paul? Is there anything I need to tell anybody? All right. With that, the committee is adjourned. See you all tomorrow.